The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 759. It's a weekend podcast. I've got to say, it's very odd.
Yes.
I'm sitting here in my pajamas with Peter and Steve with me.
What's even odder, it's just you in your pajamas.
Yeah, we're naked.
Yeah. Last night was a cracking night. Pete and Steve are down here in my end of the woods. And check out my woods, guys.
It's a lovely end.
Yeah. And because, of course, it's an Easter bank holiday, short week. And I've noticed got a lot of AIM saying, God, AIM's quiet this morning. But it's a Good Friday joke there. Have you seen the spaceship in the garden, guys?
It's impressive. Talk me through that. What is it?
We decided to buy a massive... by the way, all right, Steve, you all right, fella? I don't think you said anything.
I just said something a minute ago.
Okay, good.
Say more.
Yeah.
More.
That's it.
So we decided to buy a trampoline. We had a trampoline, and we thought, well, let's go for one 40% bigger. And the one we had was about 10 foot. And I started putting the thing together yesterday, and I realised it's taken up most of the garden. So I should do it away.
What I like is you've got the old one behind it, so it looks like a trampoline showroom.
Yeah, that's the old model. You can buy that for a tenner. This new one, updated KB3000, is worth $7,000. But it's massive. You can fit, like, I bought it just for us, so right. I knew you coming down. So later on, we'll have a crack on that, yeah? Did you see my backflip earlier?
No.
You should have done some live links from the trampoline.
From the trampoline. We'll be good on later to do some live links from the trampoline. That's like local radio, isn't it? Completely. Yeah, from the new trampoline. So this week, on the market there, Pete, Steve, first and foremost, let's talk about... In fact, there's a question I want to ask, all right? Can you be an investor on AIM?
Oh.
Because, you know...
Rather than a dealer.
Well, yeah, a dirty trader, you know, because I understand there's a lot of volatility. And when stocks, good stocks, potential stocks that have the potential to go on and be bigger stocks, when they start to rally, you get a lot of people trading. And that brings the share price down, selling basically into rallies, you know, and earning, going for 5, 10, 20% rises. And that brings the stock price down. And so, you know, these companies start to make a move and the pressure of selling brings the share price down. You think, well, can you be a long-term investor here? And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, for example, who hold bigger stocks and they're not into the AIM stuff and they look down on that area and they say you can't do that. And I think, can you? And because you've sort of formulated, Pete, a little sort of what do you do now with the stocks? If it rises, if it falls, you put a stop loss in, didn't you?
Yeah, I think generally if I'm up in a stock, I'm a bit more conscious of putting stop losses in because of, you know, past performance.
It's funny just staring at you like this.
Yeah, thanks.
It's normally... I prefer not looking at you because you are ugly.
Thanks, just back at you. Yeah, you're uglier than me.
As I said, we're all ugly. Yeah. So,
well, it looks
it's
better.
Nice staring at a wall normally. Go on.
Well, that's prettier.
It's more attractive. Looking. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well then.
Great. What was I saying? Yeah. So I started putting stop losses as and when some of my smaller stocks rise. I'm more conscious of putting stop losses
in. But then you're not capturing the profit.
No, but then only if they crash through the floor. I'm talking put a stop loss in it. So let's say it goes up 30, 40%, whatever. And then I'm conscious of putting a stop loss in it, you know, 20% up. So that as it's happened on a couple of stocks last year.
So you are being an investor, long-term investor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's just having that safety net, isn't it? It's just so, like, if something bad bit of news comes out, I just find the penny
stocks. I see. So you are the investor side.
Suppose so.
But on AIM.
Well, I think, and as I said last week in the podcast, just recently I've just been very busy with work and doing stuff, and I just haven't had a chance to really look at it. So I'm just like...
That lap dancing business is really taking off, isn't it?
It's really going well now. Despite my face.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we wear a mask, didn't you?
That's right. That masquerade laptop dance club that I've started.
Steve hasn't even got his mic towards his face. Because
this is what he's like
here,
at home.
We're sitting here on my dining room table holding mics, so it's a bit odd.
Well, usually I've got something open to read when I'm doing the show, so it's weird I can't...
Yeah, Steve will be walking around, going to the toilet and stuff.
Yeah, making sandwiches and stuff, yeah.
Yesterday, we had to explain what a coccyx was to Steve. A what? Because I've still got, I don't even know, I've still got the man flu.
I
had my best sleep last night ever, guys, thanks for, and I think it's because we all shared one big bed together. Right. But no, I did have my best sleep for months, because I've been coughing, I had the man flu. I don't like to mention it, I mean, you brought it up, so I bring it up.
Did I bring it up?
Okay. I think Steve did, someone did.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have chatted about it without talking about it.
Right.
But I don't know. But so I've been sitting on the settee right there the other day, right, the last couple of weeks.
It's a lovely bed sit you've got here.
Well, yeah, it is nice. And yeah, and obviously Jeff has the main bed, and I've been sitting on the sofa. But I woke up the other day, right? I don't know how I slept. I watched Car Share, the new Car Share. Do you see that, Peter?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, and I decided to go to sleep. The first half, that's not very good. Because I realised what they've done there, this is going off on a tangent.
No.
What they did there is, if you saw the last series, the girl and him, she moves away, doesn't she, to her sister's.
Right, yes.
And so she's not going to be car sharing with them anymore.
No.
Now, that's breaking the format, isn't it?
Right.
The format is sharing a car.
Yeah.
But yet, the first, you know, half of the new, of the episode of series two.
Right.
She's not sharing a car with him.
Right. Is there relevance to this podcast because the word share is in there?
Yeah. No, but I mean,
clever link.
And it's rubbish for the first half of that episode.
Right.
Until, I'm not going to spoil it for you if you haven't seen it.
She gets in the car, I guess.
Yeah, she gets back in the car.
It's a car share.
And then it warms back up then. The relationship there in the car works.
Okay.
Anyway, I was sitting on the sofa just before watching that. And I got up in the morning and my coccyx, it's like someone been hammering a nail into my coccyx. And Steve said yesterday, and you know what? Coccyx. You what? Your coccyx, Steve.
How many?
What is that? What is a coccyx? He thought it was something else. I mean, I can't say what he thought it was. That, you know, two words put together, not even part of the human body, essentially.
I clearly didn't pay attention in biology.
You don't pay attention to anything, Steve.
Well, yeah, that's very true.
That's why a lot of your shares in the red, when I said sell, and then a couple of weeks later, you go through the stocks you hold, and I said, why are you still holding that, Steve? You said to buy it. I said, no. I said sell about 3 weeks ago and you're still holding it.
Buy at the top, sell at the bottom.
Yeah. That's it. So a good example, in fact, Steve, a good example of that is, what is it? You've got, Motive Bio now is starting to rally. The volume on this has gone up because we're having data coming out from the clinical phase three REVIVE study on its lead drug. And it's looking good. The volume is really good. People are buying this, you can see. And it's breaking up to new levels. It broke through like the 27 pence level, which is a resistance. Now it's heading towards 30 pence. And I bought about 25, 26 pence. And a while back I held these, and they went up and I came out. I'm selling Motivio, but I bought them in lower. But you still hold them from that last time. Mm. And I thought, well, how do you still hold them there? Why?
No, I was explaining this earlier. I did sell at one point, but then
Then I bought again.
Day and after. Obviously it went down by about 50%. And I think I'm about minus 40% down now.
I just think on Perfect. AIM, there is nothing more important than the price you pay for a share. I mean, you know, when you get bigger companies, you can afford to make an error here or there. Say you're buying a Next or Tesco's, because if you're getting dividends, you know, it doesn't matter. You get paid a certain amount anyway.
Yeah.
But with AIM, when there's no dividends and it's just capital appreciation, you have to buy at the right levels. And that's why, like you said, I understand yet last week you were saying you want to get into a couple of bigger shares
because
you haven't got the time to pay attention on AIM. And you've got to pay attention to a lot of it, you know. And like that's, I mean, because it's all about, I bought like the last week, Westminster Group. Oh, My Square this week. Did you see what happened there?
Talk me through that. I saw it went up and down and down and up.
My Square is a social media site in Myanmar, former Burma. You know, it was ruled by the military junta. I don't know what the junta are. It sounds like a cartoon network or something. But they've opened up now to commercialism around the world. And so My Square are leading here. And they're connecting with major telephone operators out there. And they're going to having voiceover IP, like WhatsApp and all that kind of stuff, you know. And they've got a little buy and sell platform there. And they've got 7.5 million registered users, which is quite good. And this week, they've been having these convertible loan notes. Their share price went down. They're like 2.5 million market cap. So I thought, they reckon their broker, and of course all broker notes are quite biased, but their broker said they're going to be break even towards the end of this financial year, which is June 2017. And I thought, really? And they're only 2.5 million market cap, so I thought I'd get in here. And regardless of the convertible loan notes, because they're going to be ending sooner or later. So I got in, and I put a fair chunk in, and I scaled it. I started scaling it at 1.5 pence, went down to 1.3, put another chunk in, down another 10%, put another chunk in, down another 10%, put another chunk in. And my last chunk was at 0.85 pence, or something like that.
Yeah.
It made me even, it basically peaked down, one day I saw it. I love it when this happens. When you put a limit order in, it spikes down, fills your limit order, and bounces back up, because it's really been oversold. And that happened.
But, like, that's pretty ballsy at the time. Like, that, your psychology is pretty good, isn't it, in that? Well, not, I don't know if good is the word, but...
no, because but the,
brave.
It was, no, it's not brave, because I think, at the time, it was like 3.5 million market cap, and I thought, I think it's a good deal here.
But based on, you know, there's so and much uncertainty.
But when it keeps going down,
yeah, like, know,
if I think if it's good enough, if I'd done the workings out in the mass, and I thought, this is good value now, 3.5 million market cap, it was like 1.5 pence, you know?
Then it's what's their projected revenue? What's their, like, well, what are you basing
well,
that
well,
on?
The cash burn is around about they've got to be turning over about I'd say about $2.5-3 million a year to break even, right? And that's more than market cap at the moment. And whatever, if you ever get that, if you look at the revenue of a company, right, and it's equal to their market cap, just take 10% of that as a proper operating profit, and that's a PE of 10, pretty much. And so that's achievable. And I thought, well, hang on a sec. Do you see what I'm saying? Let's say someone's turning over. Let's say their market cap is 10 million, all right?
Yep.
And they're turning over 10 million.
Hmm.
Right, so let's say you take a 10% operating margin.
Yep.
So that's what? Offer 10 million?
1 million.
1 million. Times that by 10, yep. P10, 10 million. 10 million. Yep. So that's fair value. And I thought, right. And it's below that. I thought, if you're going to achieve that, and also you've got to understand, this was a lot higher the share price was before the convertible loan notes came in.
Hmm.
And whatever happens, when a convertible loan notes clear, a share price rallies like crazy.
Yep.
So I thought, this is going to come towards the end of this convertible loan notes. So I was buying in, and literally on that day, the last chunk I had, it spiked down, filled my order, bounced up a little bit, and that day they announced, they're stopping the convertible loan notes. It went up 65%.
Wow.
It went from like 0.85 pence to 2 pence, to over 2 pence.
Right.
So I thought, I'm going to sell a chunk here, whatever happens. That's a big rise in a day. Yeah. So I sold pretty much half my holding. A couple of hours later, they announced, yes, we are quitting the convertible loan notes, but we're also doing a placing.
Right.
At what pence?
So right, so that's what I was going to say. Where's the funding? Right.
I know, considering this, I was at 2 pence, over 2 pence this was.
Yep.
And we've raised this money at 0.85 pence. I thought, what the heck?
Right.
So we're up 65% in one day, down to minus 20%.
Yeah.
So that move is phenomenal.
Okay, so that's a good example of you're able to sit there because it's your job and you're in it all day. I'd be at work or I'd be working away. I'd come back and go, oh, wait, whoa,
you missed 60%. That.
Oh, and it came down again.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But I'm still in them, so half in. I still believe now, if they're heading towards this, they've got a lot of things happening, a lot of the monetization, in-app purchases, and all that stuff kicking in now this month, last month. And so, like I said, both of their broker, their reckons they will be earning 1.2 million for the second half in revenue.
Right.
So if you put that in the market cap there, for 6 months, it's like, you know, sub 5 million.
Mm.
And these, you know, social media sites, quite sticky, aren't they? Especially got in-app purchases. And in some context, I think some people put like $1 per user. Should be worth $1 per user, you know.
But being a bit, you know, boring for a minute, that pattern of events there, in a matter of hours, those announcements.
Yeah.
That's kind of, isn't it, a bit...
Oh yeah, it's.
I mean, there's something going on.
You've got
there.
A question. I mean,
you've
yes,
got the question.
That's the way AIM works.
Well,
that's,
I know,
that's why I say I was. Do you know what? I was literally even up that fall.
Yeah.
It was one up 6 5. Even up that fall, I was still up by 1% on the half the holding I had left. So I thought, I'm fine.
Mm.
I still see this. I still believe this is good value here, right? Yeah.
Mm.
I still think. I think my square. In the next, if they do what's going to happen, all these monetization kicks in, it's a 5-10 bagger.
Mm.
I genuinely think
what's
that.
What's the price now?
It's about, what is it? It rallied a bit on, let's have a look, my square, scroll down here, it's 1.175. So it's above that. Now, this placing is happening, raising about 2 million, is in two tranches.
Yeah.
The first tranche is a smaller, the second tranche is about 3/4. So it's about, they're raising about over 1 million in the second tranche, and that's not going through until May. So there'll be some volatility here,
yeah.
And there'll be some people flipping. Steve asked yesterday, well, you know, even though Steve's been on the podcast, how long, Steve?
A few years.
I'm not here to make fun, Steve. But I will do. So he said... So, what's the placing? no, but this is a relevant question. If you're asking it, there are other like-minded, simple people out there.
Thank you.
No. I think he kind of knew what a placing was. He was just asking the mechanics.
Why, I think I was asking why they did it.
Yeah.
That's probably more the question.
Well, because, you know, if people are listening to this, understand that AIM is less regulated, even though you have to have a Nomad, which you don't have in the full list. So you've got AIM, which is the alternative investment market. It was set up to give entrepreneurs and startups a chance, you know, of accessing funding and to get their business ahead to profitability. That's what essentially, all companies should be heading towards, hopefully, is revenue generation and profit, you know, and self-sustaining business that will create value for shareholders. That's what they're there for. They need early. And some of these companies can't get funding through banks. They don't have revenue. So going to the equity markets is the way of doing it. So that's why all companies pretty much join AIM, you know. And so when a company does a placing, it's not your revenue generating. They're burning cash. So essentially, every month they're losing money. And hopefully, what the money they've got, they're spending, will make them, you know, grow and generate revenues and hopefully profits. So if companies do placings to raise money. Now, you know, the best version of this, like I said, the placings can vary in the detail so much. So ideally, what you'd like to have is be holding an AIM company and then have an institutional investor come on board, and all of a sudden be announced, your company will announce, oh, we've just raised a couple of £1 million at a premium to our share price with an institutional investor. Yeah. That is the ideal, you know? And you think, wow, really? Because, you know, you've got an institutional investor approach the company, like what they see, and they're prepared to put money in at a premium. Why would they do that? Maybe they can't buy the stock they want in the open market at current levels. They want to buy a couple of £1 million, but they can't do that. And if they started buying, it would push the price up anyway.
Yeah.
Secondly, maybe offered something, an incentive like warrants. So a warrant is something like, let's say a company went and said, right, we want to buy £2 million of stock, you know, in your company. We'll buy it 2.5p, even though the share price is like 2.3p. But we want warrants at 5p. That means they have the option in the future, and there's a date on this, an end date, and maybe a start date as well. So starting within 12 months' time, they have the option to buy shares at 5p. So it's higher than the current price. They're assuming the share price will be a lot higher than that.
Yeah.
So even if that company's share price goes to 10p, they also have the option to buy shares at 5p. So that's, you know, it's a discounted sort of thing. So they may often...
But at the time that they exercise those warrants, that then puts downwards...
It's more money for the company, because obviously the company's selling those warrants.
Yes, yeah, okay.
So, but I mean, if they sell them, yes. But if they're an institutional investor that's a long-term holder...
Yeah.
Then there won't be any downward pressure because they're holding the shares. But so that's the ideal kind of placing, really. Then you get the next one down is where the company will approach an institutional investor or some you know, high net worths, and they'll say, you know, can we raise some money? Will you invest with us? And they'll say yes, but we want a slight discount as an incentive. You know, maybe they get warrants as well. And so then it may be a little bit of a, you know, a downward pressure, but the share, but not too much. Hopefully the discount isn't too big. And then, you know, I suppose a third, the worst case scenario is where the company have to raise money. In fact, there's probably a worse version of this, but the company have to raise money, but to get it away, they offer a massive discount, you know, to almost retail investors, people that, you know, hold, not like your standard sort of stockbroker accounts, but boutique sort of accounts in the city somewhere. And you could just get an alert there. Pete, what's that from Vox? Oh, it's mine, is it?
It's yours. News, oh, okay. Breaking news.
You're
fired.
That's the boss liking one of my tweets there. And, my squawks on Vox. Okay. Yeah. So that's the way. So that's where they have to raise money. Any questions here, Steve? Come on, give us a question. Question from the man with the bad breath.
I've got no questions at all.
I think they should put that into question. I'm just lighting it up to you.
Yeah.
Lady with the facial hair.
Yeah. Ugly. Ugly woman.
Yeah. Man with a very bad looking face. Yeah. Sticking out ears back. Yeah. So that's basically why they do it. You know. So. Its AIM is there to seed, you know, to give small companies the chance to grow and create shareholder value, create jobs. That's what's there for. In theory, in practice, you don't get that sometimes. You get, you know, you may get CEOs in a lifestyle company just there raising money to give them, pay them some, you know, keep the lights on, pay them a nice salary. That's the way it may happen.
Yeah.
Did you see next?
Well, yes, because we were speaking about that last week, weren't we?
Yeah.
We put in our limit order, and of course, it then didn't go down to that price and went up instead.
So, yeah.
Obviously, recording this on a Friday, I presume the stock market isn't open on the
Steve,
Eastern.
Were you listening earlier? AIM. Very quiet on AIM today.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Again, it's an issue where we come across this issue, Steve, where I've said, I'm selling my stock here. You don't listen. A couple weeks later, you're still holding on to stock. Then I said, why are you still holding that, Steve? Oh, I don't know.
I was going to sell it on Good Friday, but it was good.
Yeah. I couldn't.
Turns out it's not that good. I find that. I think it's that good because the stock market is shut. Hmm. Yeah, so next. It's quite annoying, this, because if you look at the chart, right? I'm not saying I'm quite influential in the stock market world.
Because you're not.
No, but I sent out my newsletter on the Sunday to several thousand people. And I said, our next trade in our 1,000 to 100,000 in 50 trades or less experiment is probably going to be next if our order gets filled. And we placed an order at $39.99. Get it cheap here, because in the tradition of retail sales, they always knock a penny off. So we thought, we'll go $39.99. And I was looking at the chart, right? And it was looking like it was going to roll over. And I checked at the trades on Monday morning. A lot of small trades, retail investor trades, they were in. I'm not saying I drove next up because it's a multi-billion, but we've seen, you know, a bit of a rally, and it's annoying because it shouldn't have rallied.
But so if that, that is people that have read the blog, they've done better than us because they've actually bought
they
a
have,
stock.
They have, yes.
Because we didn't get ours off field.
So this is where we've
been. Very close though, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, this is where, look, this is where it was on, so that's...
That's a chart, Steve.
It's a chart
just to explain.
Yeah, so it was
pretty colours.
It was at £40.20 on the it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So on the Monday, previous Monday, it was there. But I'm at £40.20.
Right.
And these were looking to roll over here and coming down. And yet next 3 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, all this week, all last week has rallied.
Yeah.
And now it's at what? £41.93. But this is the risk of, it may get to even this level here. Because that's the last previous rally went to 43.
You've got to actually 21. Say what lever it is.
Yeah, 43.21. Yeah,
this is audio.
So it may go to that. And if it fails to get above that, it's going to come down. And I just think all we need is a bit of a sell-off in the FTSE and general retail markets.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, the retail markets aren't hugely buoyant. Even though next year prices are low here, multi-year low, I think it's a safe level here. And the risk of it going any lower, you know, it's not high.
Yeah.
So all we need here is a bit of a gloomy outlook.
Weakening pound.
Yeah. Is that, but yes, bad for retailers, I suppose, if they get all their clothes from abroad. Where do next make their clothes?
Steve.
It's child labour, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't make it.
Right. I wasn't saying you made it. I was just wondering if you knew.
Oh, right. Okay, if you're asking if I made it.
We've established Steve doesn't make next clothes.
I was joking about the child labour, of course. That's highly illegal. And,
That was a throwaway comment.
Wind up with me being in court. Of course, it's high quality. And I was looking at the update, actually, reading through update.
Mm.
And like I said, it's like Tesco, you know? It's like Tesco. We're laughing at
just laughing at that comment, yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's little Pakistani boys and girls who don't have any education. And they're working their fingers in the bone abroad. I'm joking, of course. And I was looking at the quality of necks. And one of the things that core values now is focusing on the quality of their clothes. And I was like, people's been laughing at.
This is where it's handy not to have you in the room.
Sorry.
And I see this like a juggernaut, like Tesco, you know. They are one of the market leaders.
Yes.
When they have the ability, they've got the money, they've got the staff, they've got the revenue to turn this around and focus. And they can. They're at multi-level. So I think it's, we're not going to see it go back to 80 quid, you know, from 40 quid. Mm. It probably could go back to 50 quid.
Mm. And it pays a dividend.
And it pays a dividend, exactly.
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
And it's a quality stock. And we can say we're not just AIM traders. We are investors in quality stocks.
We're serious dividend-paying stock investors.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I noticed last week, Pete, you were saying you want to get into more bigger stocks. Because with AIM, you have to pay a lot more time. And that comes back to the question, can you be an investor on AIM? And I see. I'm a bit of a dirty trader. Because I will, if I get overexposed in stock. So, for example, if a stock does very well, I will top slice. And I've done that with like EVRH.
Yeah.
Because I just think, when you have a company that's done a 10 bagger, you've got to take some off the table. If it's having, if it's taking more than, if it's taking up 50% of your portfolio, that's ridiculous.
Mm.
Scale it back to 10, 20%, you know, or 20% a lot. I 10, 15%. And that's why now, even though, you know, triple digit gains on EVRH, I've got very little, actual money invested in it, even though it's, it's done really well. So
I don't think it will come to as a shock to a lot of the listeners that you are now saying you're a trader. I think.
I'm not a dirty trader. I still hold the stocks, but I scale back.
Yes. But it's nice hearing you come out for once.
Yeah. So I hold EVRH because I think there's potential there. People say, hang on, it's $100 million market cap. They haven't got any revenue. Yes, but hang on. They are very close with Facebook. Facebook want VR content. They've signed to the major record labels in the world. They're doing, talks with the other major record labels. There's a very good chance Facebook could take a stake here. I'm not saying, well, this is speculation. It could happen, it's no surprise. It's a secret. Facebook are into VR, and they've invested a lot of money in it. They're not going to go play. They're going to go whole hog on this.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg said, oh, let's pull out of VR. He's going to put everything into it. He's gone this far. He's going to go all in, isn't he? And if he thinks VR is the next big thing.
But they bought Oculus, didn't they?
Yeah.
And so what's that?
Oculus Rift from that That's Transformers
very,
firm.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Bought from that very rich guy now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, Oculus Rift, what was it worth? It was ridiculous, wasn't it? It was worth, like, they raised a couple of 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, and then Facebook bought them for 2 billion.
Yeah.
Facebook bought them for.
So, where are you seeing a company like EVRH fitting into that?
Well, I don't know, but you imagine Facebook taking a stake in
like, oh, I see.
Like Apple did, for example, and it was tanked recently in Imagination Technology, IMG,
yeah, yeah.
which produces chips. Apple took a stake in those. Mm. When that happened, the stock went through the roof, yeah. you know? Because they go, wow. And because there's rumors then that is the first step, yeah. you know, it's part of a thin wedge of Facebook overtaking. What do you call? Mel EVR. EVR it could start. They could start to take them over because if a lot of the content comes from EVR,
what do you call them?
Yeah. Why wouldn't Facebook just buy them out?
Yeah.
If they take the stake in them at the start. So if we do see, this is complete speculation.
Yes.
I have no knowledge of this. I'm just thinking, you know, it makes sense as a hookup for Facebook.
Yeah.
So that's why. What I'm saying is that's why I still hold a little bit in them because you never know. You never know. That's why I'm not a dirty trader. I'm a long-term investor that minimizes exposure to stocks in my portfolio, you know?
Yes. So you're trying to prove that you can be an investor on AIM.
Yeah, I think you can, yes. Because, I, you know, but it involves, I suppose, risk management, that's all, doesn't it?
Yes.
There's nothing more important than risk management. Steve, take us through the basic principles of risk management. By the way, I've got to say congratulations. Ascent Resources had the most liked RNS on Vox Markets ever this week.
Wow.
First gas at their project there in Slovenia at PG10 Well. And I had triple digit likes on that, which is nice. Another one that got a lot of likes this week, before Steve take us through the risk management
theory.
Yeah, theory. Talao Energy this week.
Yeah.
60 likes here on a really odd announcement. But we know Talao is partner with IPC. I say odd, it's quite leading. And I tweeted out about this. IPC is a company that delivers power stations, you know, and Talao's in this field where they have gas reserves. They've got planning, pretty much all requests, proposal for 100 megawatt power station in Botswana. So they've hooked up with IPC. As a result, now Talao have the option of 50% of the power station part of it, but they own 100% of the gas reserves. Very important because they can supply the gas to any power station throughout Botswana, South Africa, once they're linked to the grid. So, so IPC this week, hooked up with and Talao released this announcement. The announcement made by its power development partner, Independent Power Corporation, outlining its entry into a joint venture partnership with QG Power Africa, with a QG African fund, their $250 million investment vehicle around sub-Saharan Africa. I think, all they've said there is their JV. I'm going to sneeze. Their JV, which is IPC, are hooked up with QG Africa, Mestine sort of investment. But that's it.
Right.
And then why have they highlighted this? Why do you think? Because it's very misleading if something's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do this. Tony Gilby's a guy who's been in business before and he's done this before, very rich guy.
But they are connected to it already. So they're just announcing that, aren't
they? But they haven't announced there's any funding for their Botswana power station. But I think that is next. It's got to be next. You wouldn't release this RNS and lead people down this garden path. It's not happening. You wouldn't do that because that would undermine, Tony. I think the next thing is, and at these levels, where are we at now? This still hasn't rallied.
Yeah, right? Six and a half pence. Yeah.
It still hasn't happened. From these levels, a market cap of 18 million, you're talking about, gas to power across the whole South African. This is a steal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, do your own research.
That's what I'm saying.
No, you're not saying that.
Well, caveat that with you should say that on everything I say.
I should be selling now then, basically.
Yeah, Steve should be selling here.
Everyone else buy.
Yeah, it's just too good to be true. So I'll just go on a wild ramp.
Yeah.
And you just say,
do your own research on that. Please do your own research.
I just think, like I said, it's one of these stocks, that will, I think, gradually start rising, and then before you know it, you think you. In one of those things, you look back in the rearview mirror and think, "Do you remember that 6.5 pence thing? That placing, quite a discounted placing, give you opportunity to get in at a decent level. and we didn't take it on board. And that's why the psychology sometimes, when a share price goes down, people don't buy. Then why not? Yeah. If you've bought the higher up and you're not buying now, why? What has changed here? And like this was the share price of Talao was the same as this, what, 6 months ago? And yet it's a lot more advanced now.
But that is just all about, it's that, the hype cycle, isn't it? Of the excitement all shoots up. Then it comes down. But that story, and we've said this a million times, but the story's still there, everything's in place. It's just taken a bit of time to get there. But these are the times, these are the buying opportunities, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, another chart, another chart.
Yeah, that's
the listeners can't
that's
see.
That's Talao, yes. So essentially, though, we went to 6.5 pence here. And so, you know, back in what, August, September, October, same level. Yeah. And even back in July, it was at the same level. And it's just outside the trend line there, but it comes back in. It's going to rally, man. So if you look down here, you are, these are the MACDs. This is a moving average convergence. And see, it's converging there. See, when that happens generally, you see a nice rally in share price. RSI is going up. That means strength to the price. So this we should foresee here a bit of a rally starting here. Yeah. And once you get back in that triangle, then should it should go to the
Can we get on to Steve's risk management theory?
Yes, sorry, Steve.
In-depth analysis.
I'm overshadowing there. Steve, when it comes to, there's nothing more important than risk. Like I've said before, you can't control anything in the stock market. You can't control the share prices, the announcements the companies make.
Even yourself sometimes.
Yeah. You can't control what you buy and so you can't. But what you can control, what you have complete control over, is the risk. And by that, I mean the amount of money, basically, you plow into a stock. In proportion to your worth, you know, your portfolio's worth. Like I say, if you put 100% of your funds into one stock, what's your risk there, Steve?
It's quite a high risk.
Very good.
Yeah. I find, though, with risk management, obviously I don't know the detail. I wouldn't put myself as an expert in...
No, really?
Not quite.
I think the listeners will understand that.
You're literally days away,
though,
Steve.
Yeah, days away, yeah. But I would probably say it's more about common sense as well.
Which is what you're lacking.
Which I find is kind of the general consensus of general risk.
Yeah, exactly.
It's common sense.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder what would happen if I put my finger in this plug socket with wires hanging out here. And it's like you go to a chip shop, isn't it? Do not touch this, it's hot. That's hot.
But when you go, it's common sense. When you're working with big companies, they make you do risk assessments. Half the stuff on there is like, this is just stupid. It's just literally common sense. And I think it's just the same, isn't it?
But it's just acknowledging it to a certain extent, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like people think about the reward when they invest in a stock until they hit that buy button, and then they start thinking about the risk. As soon as the money's going into that company, they think, this could tank. It's like, you know, awful stories about CloudTac, and I've heard people, CloudTac got out of all proportion of hype, you know, the really hype cycle was massive. And there were people here, some stocks do this, and you see this happen a lot, and very few get to this level of popularity amongst, you know, not even in regular investors. So people go down and talk to the mates at the pub or the golf club or the rugby club, football club, whatever, cricket club. Just talking about CloudTac. This is a company called CloudTac. Put some money in it. And it's like a bushfire. It spreads. And everyone. And I've heard of people losing their pension on CloudTac who are not regular investors, you know?
Yeah.
And they honestly think that this is going to make them a billion.
I can't believe I wasn't in it.
I know, I can't. Yeah.
Dodge that bullet.
How did Steve miss out on this stock? That was a guaranteed tanker. And it just crosses all sort of normal levels, and people lost a lot of money. But you know, you've got to think, there's two sides of your coin. There's risk and reward. So that's why I always say, whenever you go into stock, don't think about how much you can make. Think about how much you can lose. And then you
that is wise advice.
You'd be more sensible. Because if you got, let's say, round figures, if you've got a 100 grand portfolio and you put 10, you know, 10 grand to come here, 10%, the maximum you lose is 10 grand, 10%.
And just, no matter how appealing that stock is or how brilliant you think it's going to be, it's all about common sense. Like Steve said, don't, you know, have your rules and stick to those rules. Be disciplined.
Exactly. Yeah. Did Steve say that?
Common sense, he said.
Pretty much what I said, really.
I think I've just expanded.
Yeah.
What you think?
God, I'm looking at Steve's software. That is so geeky, Steve.
What is it?
It's like it's an icon of a tape cassette in digital form on the screen of his computer, like it's recording a tape cassette.
It's actually spinning
I didn't choose
around.
That. Obviously, that was part of the software.
What is that software?
It's just software. It runs the mixer.
What's it called, though?
Hey, give it a plug.
X-Air. Oh, I see. Anything else? Anything else next? I think we may get our entry there. Let's look at something else. Anything else worth looking at?
What do you think of Tesco's news this week?
Well, I did see sales went up, which is a good sign, I suppose.
And profit.
Profit was about... Profit, excluding exceptional items, was up, they said, but profit was generally down because of all the restructuring and all that stuff and the accounting.
And that's a weakening pound, food prices going up.
Yeah. Well, what's scary at the moment, right, is that, looking on a macro level, is that wage growth is exactly the same as inflation at 2.3%.
Yes.
So that means, you know, we're not making any... Ideally, what would happen, wage growth would be a bit higher than inflation.
Yeah.
So then you are feeling
the
a little bit better.
The pound in your pocket is worth more.
It's worth a bit more each month, so you're going out and spending more. I mean, you start noticing the prices of anything going... Who's it? Chris Choi. I met Chris Choi at ITV. Mm. He did a comparison of normal stuff, like, you know, coffee. And he said, this 3 months ago, the coffee was like 88 pence, or something like that, a little small jar. Now it's 132. I thought, really? And you don't notice that? I don't notice that going up. But that, of course, impacts your wage completely. And so when this happens, and so what's going to happen now is if this keeps creeping up, because it's above the Bank of England's target of 2%, and the only way to rein this in, if this continues, of course, is by raising interest rates. So first and foremost, if you've got a mortgage and you come up to a renewal, lock it in now for 5 years.
Yeah.
Because I locked it in a bit early, but I think it's going to happen. But yeah, we are going to see inflation. And of course, it's not good for the stock market.
I don't think that advice is necessarily... I think that's a do-your-own-research thing as well, isn't it? Everybody, lock your mortgage in. I'm not sure.
No, because we're historical lows.
Yeah.
So hang on.
It depends on what mortgage you're on and what the variable rate or how it's linked to that.
What I'm saying is if you can get... Now, you can still pretty much get a good deal over 5 years. And that won't be around for long. Once America's up their interest rates now, we generally follow suit sometimes, and especially with inflation around. I just think, you know, if you are, look at it, lock it in for as long as you can.
But you've got to
5 years.
We did have a rate cut, didn't we? So I think all we'll see is a little bit.
No, but banks start ramping up slowly. You watch banks start ramping up even before.
That's good for my Lloyd stock, so I'm okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for your Lloyd stock, but if you've got a mortgage, it's offset.
Swings and roundabouts.
It is, which is oddly what you do for most of the day.
It says the trampolinist over there.
Yeah. See, I'm adding a bonus there. Why did we get onto that?
Tesco's.
Oh, yeah.
I've noticed another I'll mention it. Asda, their prices have massively increased. I've noticed.
Steve, yeah, but you buy some rubbish, Steve.
What, your microwave kebabs have gone up?
Even your £1 for four. They've got to be full of quality.
Even the deals, they've kind of etched their prices up. Some of the microwave meals
they've
worms.
Etched them up.
Etched.
On the prices. On the tickets, they just etched a little price to
them. Am I right in saying that Asda are owned by Walmart, and so that's listed in the US, so we can't actually buy stock really that easily in that? So the relevance to this podcast is...
Yeah, I think, Steve, it's a general, you know...
I'm trying to bring a bit of my life into the podcast.
Okay.
So,
UK consumer.
Outlook thing.
Steve's been on his bike this week. He bought a bike 3 years ago, hasn't used it once.
From Asda?
He went on it. This is it. Risk management. He went a 40-mile ride. First time in 3 years.
That's all or nothing. Steve is all or nothing.
I know. He's like, right, I'll try and make up a bit of lost time, yeah. 40, he can put his padded shorts on. And how long are we on here, Steve? Are we over 30 minutes?
36.
I think we better cut this now because
even.
We're good for a round of golf. I'll give you two a hammering. On that golf course, Steve saw a lion. Do you remember?
That was me.
Look! Oh, is that you?
Yeah, I saw the lion.
Did you see a lion on the golf course?
Could have been.
Look, there's a lion over there.
No, I said, is that a lion?
Is that a lion? That's a deer, Pete. Oh, yes, okay.
Slight body size.
I see now, that's slightly more likely.
Right, my turn. I'll play.
Yeah. There's a giraffe and a gruffalo, look.
No, it's a cat.
But what if it had been a lion, eh?
Just remind me last time, who actually won the game last
time? Right, okay, last time we played golf, what happened was I was very lenient and gave... losing your ball. Don't count that.
You lost the ball as well.
I don't think I did. And so this time I'm going to be far stricter on the rules, and we'll see. And you beat me by a stroke, as it were.
Yes. And Steve said, come on, guys, we're all winners. Steve, don't tie us into your performance. Whatever happens here, we're nowhere near as bad as you were.
You're 45 over par.
I know.
I lost a few balls as well.
But he came off smiling, generally thought that was the case. We're all winners, guys.
Well, I brought myself a Mars bar this time, so I'm going to be happy.
There you go. Right, so have a nice bank holiday.
Happy Easter to everybody.
And, hopefully this will... I part of me, I do look forward to a bit of a break from the market.
Yeah.
But after day two, I'm shivering. cold turkey, Ian.
Right.
Switch it back on. Switch the markets back on, everyone. Just, who does that? Is anyone switch like the Chinese? You know, switch it on, switch it off.
Are you trying to get the Chinese impression? Yeah. Here we go.
It's a classic, that. I'll never get back to that.
Those levels. Yeah.
Over here, though, it's me two guys in high vis, wasn't it, from Southeast. Like, oh, Trev, yeah, we lost Ben Carr on the weekend, yeah. So we switch back on then, yeah. Hang on, come on then. It's probably two switches together, you know, like nuclear. You got switch turn, ready, Trev, right, turn, all on.
Market's on.
It's good, yeah. What if someone.
What happens in China when they do it?
We never have. You know, when you have like a clock's going forward or back?
Yeah.
Trevor or Dan or whatever, two guys are responsible for switching on. One coming in an hour late. Sorry, we didn't switch the stock market on. I didn't put my clocks back, did I? Comes on at 9 o'clock. One comes on at 7, an hour early. There's no trains going on here. Okay, that's it. Anyway, have a nice weekend, everyone. Right.
Absolutely.
Please do your own research. Everything, you'll hear this on the audio, little bumpers either side, but some of the stocks we talk about, we own. So we may be a bit biased towards them.
A little bit.
By the way, YOLO, I do think do a rally. Gfinity, one of his investments, are rallying like crazy.
You just finished the podcast and now you're carrying on.
Teapop, really getting into the buy zone. Yeah, I think it's going to go up.
But do your own research.
Do your own research on all these. I own these, so I'm very biased. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I may have no idea what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I generally don't. Audio Boom, good institutional investors come on at a premium, which is what we were saying earlier. Mm. You can buy stock in Audio Boom at 2.35%, 2.3 pence or 2.4 pence. This institutional investor has bought stock at 2.5 pence.
Yeah.
That is good. You know, that doesn't happen. When I was talking earlier about placings, high quality placings versus low quality, this is a high quality placing here, raising money. So worth looking at. Do your own research.
Yeah. Steve, grab his microphone.
Yeah.
let's put a cover over his cage.
All right.
And he'll stop talking.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Have a nice weekend.
Bye.
Eat loads of Easter eggs. Don't eat anything else. This is as good as the advice I've given on the podcast. Just eat Easter eggs all week. Just, you imagine doing that? Being a single guy, right, and just thinking, this weekend I'm just going to eat all Easter eggs, just on your own, and get out of bed, nothing else.
What's the marital status got to do with it?
Yeah,
what's the marital status got to do with it?
Oh, I don't know, because you couldn't get away with that if you're
married.
If you're married, yeah, there's always pressure.
I have actually been buying an Easter egg pretty much for tea each day.
Oh, are you joking?
Yeah, it's good.
And this is Steve's in charge of money and investments. See?
Excellent.
Have a nice weekend. We'll see you later.
Yeah, bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.